Shortly, we will go back to our guest, Jonathan Shanklin, to find out more about Comet Pan-STARRS. But first, for a wider look at the night sky, I caught up with Dr. Robert Massey from the Royal Astronomical Society.
Well, it's been quite a few weeks, really, hasn't it? I mean, we've just only in the last few days had the exceptionally rare instance of a large meteorite, or large-ish, I hesitate to use the word too large to be too alarmist, actually coming very, very close to the Earth and causing a bit of damage. That's really very unusual.
It really was quite an unusual week for it as well, because as well as the one that we knew was coming and that we were all looking out for, we then got a surprise over Russia.
Well, that's right. I mean, this object, fortunately, it wasn't something of the scale of what we'd call an asteroid, although astronomers, much as we like definitions, I'm not sure there's a good threshold cut off between asteroid and meteorite, in other words, between, pebble, rock, and something the size of a mountain, and yet something larger. But nonetheless, it was big enough to do some damage, and this object came in completely unexpectedly over the Russian city of Chelyabinsk in the southern Urals, and did much more damage, really, than anything of this kind in many, many years. And the really unfortunate thing as well is that more than 1,000 people were injured, and that's exceptionally rare. There's nothing really in the historical record to suggest that an event like that has happened in, well, for thousands of years.
It seemed to come out of nowhere, didn't it? We didn't predict this one. We were very much eyes to the sky looking for DA-14, which was the bigger one that did a flypast very close. And then this one seemed to come out of nowhere.
I think the interesting thing about the Russian event is that you've got something which is rather small, 15, 20 meters across at most, coming probably from the direction of the sun, and therefore very, very difficult to detect. If you know about much larger objects do more damage, but on the other hand, they have the inherent advantage that they can be seen further away. If they're on the night side of the Earth as well, then they're against a dark sky. The problem with something coming from the direction of the sun is that, at least with an optical telescope, you're just not going to see it. That's an example of why it's good to put a lot of effort into tracking these objects, to look for them for as long as possible before they pose a danger to the Earth, and that way you hopefully don't get caught out. But the problem with something rather small, when you get down to the 10-meter or smaller level, is it's really very difficult to detect these things in any circumstances, because below a certain size they're going to be very, very faint, and it's pretty hard to track millions and millions of objects of this type. I mean, I suppose we can just be grateful for the fact that events like this are very rare, that this one is being described as the biggest event since 1908, which indicates that on a century timescale, that they don't happen that often as far as we can tell.
Hollywood has conditioned me to expect this sort of impact to be very loud, leaving a long dark trail across the sky and then a massive crater where it actually hits the Earth. But that didn't seem to be what happened. The video footage that I saw, it was incredibly bright. What actually happened to it?
Well, the object seems to... I mean, there's a bit of speculation around this, I should say, because not much in the way of fragments have been found yet. There's some small pieces that look as though they may be connected, but I suspect they await further analysis. What seems to have happened is it came in and broke up in the Earth's atmosphere about sort of 30, 40 kilometers up, which is fairly low by the standards of incoming objects from space, actually, unless they get what's called aerobraked and just literally fall down to the ground. And as it broke up, there was basically a sonic boom because it had been moving so quickly through the atmosphere faster than the local speed of sound. A sort of shockwave emanated from that. That's what smashed windows, and that's what injured people, because of having seen the flash, they went out to have a look, and of course light travels vastly faster than sound, so the sound then caught up with them in the form of the shockwave. It looks as though some of the pieces were distributed over a reasonably large area, but apart from some very small fragments, I haven't seen any big chunks of rock yet, and so we don't really know exactly what this object was made of. There is quite an interesting picture of a big hole in an icy lake, but as I understand, some divers have been down to have a look to try and retrieve some fragments and haven't found anything yet. But I suppose, given it's a fairly well-populated area, given the intense scientific interest in this, there's good reason to believe people will find quite a lot more.
As we have already mentioned, there was also the flyby of 2012 DA-14, which was obviously less spectacular. But what did we learn from that? Was it astronomically interesting?
Well, DA-14, again, is an example of a fairly recently discovered object, but fortunately discovered long before it. Well, it didn't present a threat to the Earth, as it turned out anyway, but long before it even made its close flyby. So we had quite a lot of confidence that it wasn't going to be causing us any problems. It's another of these sort of, you know, 100 meter size, or in this case, I think about 45, 50 meter size objects that they're really numerous. Again, possibly as many as a million of this kind of object are going around the inner solar system. So, and if it hit the Earth, it's not the sort of thing that would end life on Earth or even come close to that. But in the unlikely event that it hit a city, it could destroy that. So it's the sort of thing we have to keep an eye on. As it went past the Earth, not that much was known about it, other than that it was rotating, I think, over a period of about a bit over 10, maybe 15 hours, because you can see the way it flickers, basically. Well, flickers is an exaggeration when something does that over 10 hours, but there's a change in the amount of light being reflected off it, so that gives an indication that it's tumbling. Then, as it's gone past the Earth, I haven't seen the results from it yet, and I suspect it's too early to hear anything much, but there were plans to use radars based on Earth to scan it to map it more closely. That's been done with quite a lot of asteroids, so you should probably see some radar images of it fairly soon. So astronomers are really taking advantage of it coming past the Earth so closely to get high-resolution images that way.
Regardless of these doomsaying predictions, it now seems that we have good scientific evidence that actually Earth was hit in the past, but not necessarily by a big lump of rock, actually by a massive gamma ray burst. Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, there's this intriguing discovery, most of it was made last year actually by a Japanese astronomer, of high levels of carbon-14 and beryllium-10 in tree rings at the end of the 8th century, so the year 774 and 775 to be specific. And the presence of these, or an excess of these elements, suggests that there was some kind of radiation interaction with the Earth, that actually that's what creates the excess of them. And that's very odd. Now, you get things like solar flare events and so on that affect life on Earth somewhat, but they don't seem to be powerful enough to cause this. So one group are speculating that what it might be is a nearby soft gamma ray burst. Now, a gamma ray burst is a burst of very, very intense radiation, and at the high end, they'd be lethal things. They're thought to be caused possibly by the collapse of stars into black holes, and you get a really appalling amount of energy released, and if you're anywhere near that, well, it's basically an extinction event. It wouldn't be any good at all. But their suggestion is that a relatively nearby, perhaps a few thousand light years away, you had two neutron stars, compact stellar remnants, coming together, merging together, and in doing so, releasing a burst of radiation. And it might just be that this affected the Earth that year. Now, the other bit of corroborating evidence, which is very, very odd, is the indication in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle of a red crucifix seen in the sky after sunset. Now, that could be incredibly allegorical. It could just be a very, very vivid sunset. Who knows? But it is nonetheless quite intriguing. And personally, I find it absolutely fascinating that this event several thousand light years away had this tangible impact on the Earth. It doesn't seem to have caused any real harm to anything or led to any kind of major impact on life anyway. I mean, I guess if you have a higher radiation dose, it's not good for you, but it doesn't seem to have done anything long-term in the way that a more dramatic event does. But it does, again, illustrate that life on Earth, sometimes we're not quite as well as protected from the wider universe as we like to think.
Are we not normally protected by the atmosphere and by our magnetic field? Does that not usually stop these sorts of damaging rays getting to Earth?
You're absolutely right that the atmosphere and the Earth's magnetic field are very, very good shields, but they can't protect us against everything. And, you know, whether it's a large rock coming in from space or a very, very powerful radiation effect, the shields only give it work up to a certain point. So very, very powerful effects, or big rocks, frankly, we'll get through that. Now, we know that because we can see most visibly in the record of geology on Earth, we can see an awful lot of impact craters on the surface of the Earth. I think more than 200 have been identified. And given that the Earth is a world which is constantly being resurfaced, where we have erosion, where we have weather, and where we have continental drifts, so some of the records of these things are wiped completely, or at least buried very, very deep, it does say that an awful lot of things hit the Earth over the history of the planet.
You've made the Earth sound remarkably vulnerable.
The funny thing is, I don't worry about it that much because the statistics are still quite good. You know, you can go your entire life with almost no risk of being affected by one of these events. So there are more pressing things to worry about. That said, there's every argument for looking at ways that we can, first of all, track these objects and secondly, deal with them.
Robert Massey from the RAS.